Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good morning, St. Louis. Welcome into the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. I'm Charlie Marlowe filling in for Tim McKernan. We've got Doug Vaughn.
Yeah.
And then Doug in the middle of us is Jimmy the Cat Hayes.
I saw him sitting over there. Hello, Hayes.
You can call me Jim. We know each other. It's only been 10 years.
More like Hayes. Hello, Hayes.
Hollywood Hayes.
I have a name.
Hollywood Hayes and Malibu Marlowe, back at it.
That's right. When we were in high school, what was it, 1927 or so? Mm-hmm. I have the kind of name where they would go, Smith, Jones, Jim Hayes. It has a name that you kind of have to say both. I don't know why that is.
You have to say the Jim with it. They never just say Hayes.
I don't know why. It'd be like whatever, Wells, Peters, Jim Hayes.
What the heck is that?
Women wanted to be like him, and guys wanted to be with him.
And we're off.
Right off the bat. I just want everybody to know, and Frank to know, that none of us three asked for that.
That was
freelancing.
No.
Which I appreciate. But
I think Frank was uncomfortable with the amount of times we played. He was a good sport the first or second time.
That's probably fair. How about this, guys?
Uh-oh.
At 8:30, we'll have the opportunity to listen to Doug the Body Vaughn interview Jesse the Body Ventura.
Oh, he's got a new book out.
8:30. New York Times best-selling author of the book. I think Plowsy might like this one. It's called The Marijuana Manifesto. It's available now.
And what is his point? You know, have you read this book? Have you read anything at all about it?
Well, I've read the sheet that they send to the media.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It's kind of a little two-page sheet of, I'd say, six paragraphs, talking points and such. And he would like marijuana to be legalized, and the book calls for ending the war on drugs.
Well, we're getting there, aren't we? As a country?
I think we are. Well, marijuana, yeah.
He's a libertarian, if I'm not mistaken, and that's kind of one of their platforms, is that this war on drug, let people do what they want to do, even if it's bad for them.
Yeah, I think I'm for that. You can't protect people from themselves.
Well, here's what I go, like this this pushback that there used to be against gambling, and before they decided that Riverboat Casino had to touch water,
mm-hmm.
and so they put it on a little puddle.
Made it less evil.
Yeah, what they were thinking was any community that gets a casino, all of a sudden people gamble all their money and will be lying around in the streets, and that never happened.
It's important, though, that the casino looks like a boat.
Right, because you're on a puddle, so mm-hmm. you can somehow pass that through legally. And I, you know, the argument, if you let drugs get way out of control, that it's going to negatively affect a good portion of the population. Obviously, we care about our fellow man, but is that really going to happen?
I don't know. Where casinos are concerned, I wonder if there's been more people just totally ruined by their gambling habit or gainfully employed by the casinos and are now doing much better because of them. I wonder what the higher number would be.
Well, I mean, to me, if you're going to gamble, there's plenty of places to do it besides a casino. So if you have a gambling illness, which is serious, and so, you know, you feel bad for those that are afflicted, but just because there's not a casino within 5 miles of you doesn't mean you can't gamble away your money. You can't protect everyone from themselves.
But you would be in even more trouble if that casino weren't close to a body of water.
Correct.
And if you had it, like, in the middle of Kansas, you know, it's over.
Once it's on water, over. Then
that makes it less evil.
When you go down and you see it next to a tributary, mm-hmm. it makes you think more about what you're doing.
Keep your hand on your wallet.
Like when you're ready to ask for a hit,
right?
In blackjack, you go, wait a second, I'm pretty close to a river.
Right. You go, I got my hand on my wallet. I've already lost $50. Oops, there's the water. I'm not losing anymore.
The water is a safety net, is what you're saying.
I think that it is.
Or instead of having the people lose all their money and they're afraid they're going to be sitting in the streets homeless,
they just jump off the boat.
There you go.
So you don't have
but usually these bodies of water that they're close to are really puddles, so no one's going to hurt themselves. I don't even think you could soak your shoe in some of these bodies of water.
Now, later on, yes. But before that, I mean, you had the one out in Illinois was right on the river, and then the next one, which is now Harris, that was in like a moat. That's when they started. Just put any kind of water there.
The one in Lime, what's the name of that one?
River City?
That's next to River de Pere, right?
Yeah.
Is
right
that
there.
The body of water?
It's right
River
there.
De Pere?
You don't have to put it on water anymore.
Are you sure about that? I think it's got to be within like 1,000
Where
feet.
Is River City next to water?
River de Pere.
That's not water.
It's a moat.
It's
as
a sewer.
It's as much a water as the one in Maryland Heights.
The point is, water means safety, so it's good that they continue that.
So we have Jesse the Body Ventura at 8:30, and then at 9 o'clock, Cat. Chris, is it Hrabe? Chris Hrabe?
I don't know him. Where?
He's new.
Oh, he's from that little station?
I think it's a small AM dial.
KMXO or something?
K-Mox. We love Chris Hrabe, Cardinals pre- and post-game host for the Mighty Mox. KMOX brought to us by Hot Shots. Jesse the Body Ventura brought to us by DraftKings.
Now, you said when you were sideways with Doug in the past, like you and Doug were Rams coverage buddies, right?
Yes.
Like you would sit together and talk. You were Rams coverage buddies before.
And
Doug
Blues
threw it back in your face saying that you're not friends and you're barely co-workers. Yeah. But Hrabe,
Blues playoff buddies as well.
All right. Well, Hrabe is my Cardinals buddy. We sit next to each other in the press box. I think he's a great American.
I do too.
He's a great American.
Good guy.
You enjoy Chris Hrabe, don't
you? Sure.
All right.
Does he do anything that makes him a great American? Is he patriotic more
Absolutely.
Than the next guy?
Absolutely.
He is?
Yeah, because when they play the national anthem at the ball game, we stand.
Oh, don't get started with that.
And he puts his hand over his heart.
Sometimes That's I will nice. Say, you know, some of the scribes up there, like, I'm not trying to get political about Colin Kaepernick.
Here we go. How's your microphone? Is your microphone, is it okay?
But when we're in the press box and some of the legit journos are busy doing stuff and they mm-hmm. don't notice the anthem is on and they don't stand, I like to say, excuse me, comrades, they're playing the song. That's what I say.
Maybe
excuse
me, protesting.
Comrades, as if we're from a communist bloc, that we should stand for the song. And then they do.
I was in the press media lounge last week.
Is it the media lounge or press media?
Well, whatever.
Don't brag.
And I was eating before the game.
Of course.
And while I was eating, the national anthem came on the TV. Now, what would be the proper protocol? Should I have stopped eating and stood up?
No, if it's on TV and you're not anywhere close to where you can see the flag on the field of play, you're not... Where was this?
In the media room there at Busch Stadium.
Downstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have no access to the field.
But it was on. You could hear it all over the room. Well, I just wondered, should I be standing
quiet,
right now?
No. Say a quiet prayer to yourself and eat your chicken fingers or whatever they serve you.
When you're sitting at home watching it on TV, do you stand up?
No, but I'm not
well,
in public.
Well, it's the same
there.
Thing.
Well, when you're in public,
it's
you feel
one thing
a little
if they're
more.
Doing it on the field and you have access to the field. You're by a window or you're, you know, in a hallway right by the field.
But what if you're at the stadium and you're at the concession stand? Should you stop what you're doing?
I do.
Yes.
I do.
You're in the ballpark.
Sometimes I'll be going from
the field back.
To a press box or to somewhere else.
You should stop.
And
most
people do stop, which I appreciate.
But if you're at the ballpark and you're just in the basement there where you're not out into the main area, then it's okay to sit.
Okay, I have a question because I have to disagree a little bit, although I totally respect
Why do you hate America?
The national anthem.
If Why do you hate America?
I love America. If you're in the concession stand, okay? Let's say you're right in the front of the line. You have seven people behind you. The second you walk up to the counter, the national anthem starts. Are you supposed to not tell them your order?
No, you can, in my opinion, you can give them your order and while they're getting it, maybe turn and show a little respect. But if not, and there's one thing if you're in the middle of a transaction, I get that.
Should the worker stop and not make your nachos?
In some venues I've seen, they do stop.
But you can't even see the flag where they are.
Well, it depends where you are. Not every concession stand is out of view from where...
No, most no. are.
Some are in, what do you call that?
Concourse.
And it's right there. So I've seen some stadiums
where
the flag's
right
working.
There. The flag's out in center field.
It's on the field and you can see it.
Some of them, but a lot
Wait,
of them.
Wait, are you saying you have to be in close proximity to the flag to stand? That
but
seems
like... If you can't see the flag, if there's no...
I just said you could.
Well, not in all of them you can.
Never mind.
Real patriots like myself, I carry a miniature American flag in my pocket at all times.
Do you?
I do.
So you just raise that?
I do.
Well, that answered that then.
Yeah. What do you feel about ladies? Now, if I've been in the press box...
How do you feel about ladies?
I like
Doug
them.
Is against them.
I'm for them. If I'm in the press box and I see somebody out in the stands in front of us who doesn't take off their hat, I'll like throw a peanut at them.
No.
To get their attention, to take their hat off?
No. That's worse than not taking the hat off.
No.
Harassing well, someone is worse.
The beautiful thing about this country is that you can live your life as you see fit. If someone wants to leave their hat on, that's not for someone else to scold them.
You should take your hat off.
You do what you think is right. Now, if someone, as I said, some of the comrades, the Soviet bloc legit journos, don't realize the anthem is playing, I will let them know, hey, gentlemen, comrades, song's playing. And then they stand up. But if someone obviously made a choice that way, let them be.
John Hewlett even says before the anthem, gentlemen, please remove your hats. My question is, why don't ladies have to take off their hats?
I think they should, too.
Yeah, they probably should. How many are wearing hats? I guess some wear baseball hats.
A lot of them have baseball hats on, but they don't say ladies and gentlemen. They say, gentlemen, please remove your hats, not the ladies.
That's kind of old school. Old school tradition.
I think you're onto something there. If there is going to be some sort of invitation to remove the hats, it should be for men and women and children.
Yes.
And also parakeets, because some people bring their parakeets.
But they don't wear hats.
Yeah, they got little tiny hats.
Little bowler hats.
Little tiny parakeet hats. It's a new trend.
It's the Tease Farm Captain's Log. And again, I told you about the guest. Text of the day, a free roast beef sandwich at Lion's Choice. And the email of the day, 4 tickets to the Blues versus the Blackhawks on Saturday, October 8th. The Blues icebreaker event at Ballpark Village is on October 12th as they open the regular season in Chicago. And then the first home game is October 13th versus the Minnesota Wild. It's the 50th anniversary season. Check out the schedule, all the info, all the deals, all the promos at www.stlouisblues.com. Well, Doug,
yeah.
Where would you like to start? Would you like to start talking about the legalization of marijuana and just let that run all the way up till 8:30?
Probably not.
You want to talk Cardinals baseball?
Probably.
Pretty amazing moment last night with one Aledmys Diaz.
Couldn't you feel that coming? Do you think that, I mean, I know hindsight is 20/20, but it felt like we're about to see something special, right? Mm-hmm. To me, I was like, it had to be there. It had to be that way.
Yeah. And you could tell it was very meaningful for him. Really a nice moment for him.
Really.
And for the team.
Don't you think you've talked to him? I know you've talked to him. Very mature kid. I mean, obviously, he's been through more than most guys his age have been through by defecting to this country. But the way he handled it before the game and the way he handled himself after that big moment, remarkable. I think he's mature beyond his years.
Yeah. He's been the big shining find of this whole season. He's been the one thing that you could really grab onto and say, well, at least we discovered Aledmys Diaz this year. We got our shortstop for the next who knows how many years, and he's an all-star caliber player.
And his defense, I mean, the offense has been there from go. He had some defensive struggles earlier. I think he's going to end up being a really, really good defensive player. And the thing that gets me, like, sure, the offense is surprising because we hadn't seen anything to this level. But I saw him at spring training. I don't remember him being that fast. He can really run, and I never really realized that watching him at spring training.
He can pick him up and lay him down.
What?
He can pick him up and lay him down.
Oh, run differential.
His feet. It has nothing to do with run differential. I think he's the fastest guy they got.
And how about one day after the Cardinals' run differential really takes a hit in a 15-2 loss, they say, look, yeah, winning the game, that's important, but let's make sure we reverse this trend with the run differential, and they get a big 7-plus margin, which to me is more important.
Oh, without a doubt. I had several people on Twitter asking me if a 12-5 game meant that their run differential was plus 7. I said, it's not that simple. It's a much more complicated formula.
There's bar graphs.
You probably shouldn't even try to figure it out unless you have a background in math or engineering.
Algorithms.
Yeah. You know.
And such. Let's listen to some audio. We have a lot of audio about the home run and hearing from Aledmys and Adam Wainwright and Mike Matheny. But first, let's hear the call from the great Danny Mac, courtesy of Fox Sports Midwest of the Grand Slam.
Hit the lever, Plow's aim.
The 2-1 pitch. Diaz. High drive. Left center. Hit it. for Aledmys Diaz. Tears welling up in our commercial break. We were watching him take the ground balls thrown to him at shortstop. And Diaz, an emotional moment. Yadier Molina would follow him down and chills here at the ballpark.
He's good.
Adios.
Mac is really good.
Pelota. Danny Mac never misses the moment.
Never misses a big moment. And he had been talking about to Ricky about what he would say, because obviously it felt like something big was going to happen, and Danny Mac didn't miss it.
I see a lot of games from other teams at Channel 4. We've got the whole package, so whatever game you want to watch.
Two doesn't have that.
And the announcers are so boring and laid back. You listen to Dan McLaughlin for a while. He's got so much energy night after night after night. He is, I hope people don't take him for granted, because he is clearly one of the best in the business at the moment. And I see it when I watch all these other games, and I go, where's the excitement here? And it's not there in a lot of other announcers. He is maybe the best going.
It's funny. The other day, I think we're on the road, and Chris Russo was doing his show, which is also televised, and they ran one of the calls from a Cardinal game. I don't recall which one. And Russo went on and on about how good Danny Mac is. And he said, you know, this is out of the blue. And he said, you know, they've had great ones in St. Louis calling the games, Jack Buck, Joe Buck. He said, Dan McLaughlin is as good as any of them.
Well, you hear the same guy, I don't know how many years he's been doing it, 15 or so by now, maybe more than that. And you just kind of take it for granted until you listen to some of the others. And then you go, wait, I like our guy. And for good reason. And now I'm hearing another
I
show
am now.
In my ear now,
I was
now,
just
Plowsy.
About to say that, because yesterday...
Someone's going to get free shipping.
Yeah. You were complaining about that yesterday, and I didn't hear it. And I think it's a commercial for Appliance Discounters.
I definitely hear it.
Did somebody have that in queue somewhere? Was that UC Monster playing that?
Well, it's funny
what
that...
in the world?
It's funny that that was played, because cooking season is here. So get rid of that old stove and wall oven and replace it before the holidays. Great cash rebates and no-interest financing are available. And as always... you'll get the lowest price at the Appliance Discounters. That's why Appliance Discounters has the happiest customers and the unhappiest competition. Six locations: Baldwin, Webster Groves, St. Charles, Arnold, St. Louis on Delores Street, and in Fairview Heights, Illinois. Check them out online at theappliancediscounters.com. Doug the Body Vaughn bought a new fridge there at the Appliance Discounters.
Yes, I did. And I love it. You know, I didn't get the stainless look. Now it's like the black stainless look, I think they call it. Mm-hmm. It looks much better than the stainless.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the stainless, I guess.
It's not jet black. It's just kind of that kind of a cool dark gray. It's better than the stainless leaves.
Charcoal
thumbprints all over the place.
Yeah.
You're right about that, but it's almost like, well, I didn't get stainless, so I cheaped out.
No.
You're saying there's another generation that's even better.
Yeah, that's right. That's what
I'm
saying.
And you got it.
I got it.
Good for you.
There's another show going on. Can you hear that?
I'm trying to hear what it is. The problem is you have to not talk to really be able to hear it.
All right, let's be quiet. Okay.
Everybody be quiet for like 5 seconds.
Yeah, I don't hear it.
You don't hear it now? Oh, I hear it loud and clear.
Credit card, for sure.
Yeah, someone's trying to qualify for a loan.
Well, let's get back to the audio.
Where's that coming from?
Courtesy of Fox Sports Midwest, let's hear from Aledmys Diaz. Clip one on how he will remember his friend, Jose Fernandez.
Pot the pulley, Plowsy.
Right now and going forward, every time I put on a uniform, you know, I want to think in him, you know, and like the way like he played baseball, you know, he give everything every day, you know, and that's, I think it's his legacy for every MLB player, you know, like, especially for the Cuban players, you know, like, he was looking the American dream, you know, and he made it. So every time I came here to the clubhouse, you know, and I put the uniform, I want to start thinking in him.
Aledmys Diaz and Jose Fernandez, childhood buddies growing up on the same street in Santa Clara, Cuba. And we have clip two, Diaz talking about playing the game hard for the rest of his career to honor his friend.
Yeah, it's very emotional now for me. I think it's the best way to honor him is play baseball hard every day. You know, that's what I came today, like, play hard and take the win for my team. I think in him today, you know, I came here and play hard, you know, enjoy the game. I think it's the legacy, you know, for all MLB players, you know, came here every day and enjoyed, you know, the life and play baseball.
Why'd you cut me out, Seymour? Why'd you cut me out?
It was a bad question.
That was me. I rarely put questions in there unless it's a cow may, so my apologies.
You did what you had to do. It probably needed to be snipped.
All right. If it needed.
Have you seen the picture of Diaz and Fernandez, the Little League picture where they're there together on the front row, look about 8, 9 years old? Pretty amazing that two kids from the same street could grow up and they're both Major League All-Stars in their early 20s.
It's like Yogi Berra and Joe Garagiola.
Well, Garagiola was a nice player. He wasn't an all-star talent. Became a bigger star after his playing career. Good player, but...
Why do you hate Garagiola?
I don't. I'm just saying Yogi Berra was one of the greatest of all time. Garagiola was okay for a few years.
Why are you pro-Cuba?
Well, why wouldn't I be?
I'm just kidding. Let's get back to the audio.
Okay.
Adam Wainwright.
God bless it.
On his emotions when Diaz hit the granny.
All right, pull the pulley plows in.
I felt some serious goosebumps when he hit that, you know. Almost got choked up. I know he was, and we were all excited for him. He wanted to make some good swings for Jose, I'm sure. And gosh, we didn't. I don't know if we needed that, or if there's a spot all year we needed that more than we did tonight. So that was huge for us.
And finally, the skipper, Mike Matheny, also talking about a very emotional game in a couple days for Aledmys Diaz.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Watching him cross the plate and watching his reaction as he went through the guys really hit me at how much that meant to him and kind of some of the load he's carrying right now. And, you know, you can never understand, I guess, what each person is going through when they suffer a loss like that. So I know there's a large group of guys that continue to spend time with him through the game and right now and celebrating with him, but also still mourning because, you know, there's, you know, the game and the show goes on, but, you know, so does life. And it's a tough thing for a young player, anybody, to deal with. I thought it was pretty cool as he went up and the crowd was so great about giving him the ovation and calling him out and that, you know, looking up in the sky, you could just tell his mind was somewhere else, but in a good place. And we mentioned that before the game. We watched Carlos and how well he pitched and the emotion. And that Aledmys had it in him to do something special, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, when you look at the moments provided by baseball in response to the tragedy that happened to Jose Fernandez in the last 2 days, it's one of those things I think we can all agree why we love sports for moments like that.
Mm-hmm.
We had it with D. Gordon where you watch that, and most of us aren't Marlins fans, but you watch that, you get goosebumps, you tear up sometimes just watching it on your computer or on your phone, and then hitting closer to home with the Cardinals, you have a very similar moment last night. I mean, those were two pretty amazing things we saw in the span of 24 hours or so.
Yeah.
And I think it hits home more, obviously, when you're talking about the Cardinals. Diaz is a guy we've been following all season. You know, we've known about him now for a little while in St. Louis. And then you kind of feel for guys that you know. He was in Miami the day before, had flown to a gathering of family and friends of Fernandez, and then flew back. And so he had been through a lot, not only the loss of his friend, but physically getting around, and then he's back in the starting lineup last night and seizes the moment. You mm-hmm. can't write that.
The D. Gordon thing was especially unbelievable. To stand up right-handed and take a pitch and then turn left-handed and hit his first home run of the season? That's almost hard to believe.
He basically said that he's never hit a ball that far in his life, even in batting practice. Now, maybe that was a little hyperbole, but still, I think he only has about 6 or 7 career home runs.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. What a shame. Really lost a bright star.
I was surprised when Diaz took his first at-bat last night that the crowd wasn't, you know, usually Cardinal fans are crazy supportive. And I thought he would get an ovation of some sort, and it was just a smattering. It wasn't as big as I would have thought.
So
considering everything he had been through.
The big question now, and obviously a lot of the headlines in the story was Aledmys Diaz, as it should be, but also the Cardinals getting a win that they really needed, 12-5. Adam Wainwright didn't pitch great. Obviously, Cardinals offense comes alive a day after a really embarrassing performance, I think we can all agree. So do you think, we've asked this question all season long, but will this be something that can kind of give them a momentum to go on a run, which they'll have to do to get into this wild card.
To me,
race.
And I'm a rights holder. I don't know. Because every time you think they're heading the right direction, they go the other way. Every time you think they're done, they go in a positive direction. Leak hasn't been good. He gets a start today. I'm hoping that he obviously has a good one because time is running out. This is it, you know.
Five left.
I mean, they're all must-win games in a sense because if you don't win it, that's the one that could cost you.
Yeah, I don't think the momentum thing works at all. I mean, if Leak comes out and leaves the ball out over the middle of the plate and gives up four runs in the first inning, so much for your momentum.
So I agree with you.
I don't think that helps at all. Last night's game was the same we've seen all year. When they hit home runs, they win. When they don't hit home runs, they can't score because they got a bunch of low average hitters. They've got one guy, I think Molina, maybe Diaz is still over 300, but he hadn't played much lately. And everybody else is about a 240, 250 hitter with no speed. They don't hit the ball out of the park. They struggle to score.
And the other difference last night that we haven't really seen for the most part over the last couple weeks is both the Giants and the Mets also win. All three teams score 12 runs, but it seems like the last week or so that every time one of these teams wins, the other two lose, or all three of them lose. So the Cardinals get the big win, but unfortunately can't pick up any ground.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing they won, or they'd be in real trouble at this point.
They need guys, you know, that have been really cold to get hot, like Peralta, four RBIs last night. It's been a long while since he had a game like that. Obviously, if he's going to be in there, they're going to need him. Carpenter had a home run last night. He's dealing with a finger issue. His first at-bat looked rough, but then his home run was huge also and just breaking through. You need guys like that who are in there to produce offensively, so it's not depending on one or two home runs to win.
What do you think about Molina hitting third? He just kind of looks odd there.
On paper, don't you think? I think on paper you look at that, but then when you watch him take at bats, and I'm not saying he's going to hit a bunch of home runs, but don't you think in terms of just getting a hit, you have as much confidence in Yadier Molina, especially two strikes, you know he's going to shorten up and just hit a ball to right field.
Since the second half, he's been there.
He's been amazing.
He's been their best hitter, and so, yeah, we haven't gotten much from the middle of the lineup, so if you're thinking I'm going to put Yadi there because he's hitting, I'm all for that.
And you can certainly criticize Mike Matheny for some lineups over the course of the season, but at this point, do you have a lot of options that you can say, I can plug that guy in to the three hole and you know what you're going to get? I mean, they've tried so many different lineups, and we know some guys are scuffling like a Brandon Moss, so I'm fine with that.
To have played 157 games, I wonder how many different lineups they've used. I mean, it appears to be different every single night. I bet they've used 130 lineups.
But don't you think that's because they haven't gotten the consistency? I feel like if a lineup's rolling and guys are playing well, then they keep it relatively the same. But if you really have to try to fight to... Yeah, you have injuries.
But Grichuk bounces from 8th to 2nd to 5th. Diaz is now at 7th. I don't understand that, really.
I do. I mean, I understand the thinking. He's not physically 100%, so you drop him down in the order. Grichuk has been hot, so you move him up in the order. And Mike Matheny's just trying to put the order together where he's trying to get the most out of his hot guys.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Don't say hot guys.
Just saying you never
Grichuk
really
is hot, though.
Know what you're going to get. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you talking about your hot guys.
Well, you referenced it.
I didn't.
Yeah, both of you said don't say hot guys. So yeah. I said Grichuk is hot. Yes, you did.
On the text line, Doug. You're only as good as your next day's starting pitcher.
Charlie said, don't say hot guys. Yes, you are. The momentum is only as good as your next day's starting pitcher. That's one true baseball cliche.
Okay, keep going. You had a hot take going.
And so Mike Leake is the starting pitcher.
Yeah. See, his ERA is about 8.31 against his old Cincinnati teammates. Probably not what you're looking for.
But maybe he can turn it around.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
And flip the switch.
Yeah. You know. Now, momentum is only as good as your next day's starting pitcher.
Run differential.
Run differential we'll figure when the game is over.
Who do the Reds have towing the slab?
DeSclafani?
Yeah, that's
he's pretty good.
He is pretty good. You know who else is pretty good? Timberfake. He's on line one. Ah. He wants to talk about the time he actually met Jose Fernandez. Good morning, Timberfake.
Yeah, but here's the first thing I'd do. I would bench Mike Leake and put Mike Lee in the pitch and give him a lot of milk while he's pitching. You know,
all right.
The speed of milk, and he could throw no hitter.
He's not on the 40-man roster.
He's actually on the phone lines right now, though. Mike Lee is.
Put them on we'll together.
Keep that, we'll keep that sexy for a minute. We ain't going there yet.
Oh.
But, you know.
Hey, I'm running this show.
We get rid of Mike Leake, and we get Mike Lee.
No,
we put Tony Lee in the three-hole, you know, because, you know what I'm saying, like the gap man, you know.
Mm-hmm. So we just drop Mike Leake, even though he has 4 years left on his deal?
Man, he's a bum.
Okay.
He's still from Sears.
Well, he's not a bum. He's trying his hardest.
I don't know. But you know what? That's why the cat's on the fan page. The cat's my favorite guy from this show. Like, you guys have no idea. Uh-huh. The cat is the sex show.
Okay. Now, why do you say that?
You know, and cat, I mean,
because I'm wearing my sexy khakis. That's why.
McCormick. I love Charles Leonard, but I respect the cat more than anybody on this, than anybody.
Anyone on the panel,
on the dais.
Well, anybody.
There's not really much to choose from, so apologies for that.
Oh, no, you're the man, cat man.
Thanks, buddy. And I feel strongly about you as well.
Anyways, I've been texting Ryan Kelly. I'm like, let's get this fight going, man. Like, I think we could raise $100,000 for charity for real. Like, I mean, I don't know.
$100,000. That's a lofty goal.
Yeah, I mean, we could probably. There's 5,000 fan pen members. Like, they could fill up almost Chaffetz Arena. I mean, yeah.
Oh, for heaven's sake!
See the sex show. They're coming to see me.
Chaffetz holds like 12,000, doesn't it?
I'm the money man.
He's the money man.
You think you can sell out Chaffetz Arena?
Yeah, man. I mean, for sure.
I agree.
I mean, it could be, at least it'd be a casino, man.
I'm a disagree.
I mean, well, at least I promise you, there'll be Blues players there. There'll be Cardinal players there. There'll be a former Rams players there. It's Sex Lewis. It's the sex show. I'm a John Stamos St. Lewis. I'm
2.0.
I'm going to be 3.0 for this fight because it's for charity. And there's going to be stipulations.
Have you been training yet, sir?
What happened with me and producer Joe?
What? But lower your voice.
What happened there? Because you get all high and... What happened? What?
I'm just saying, like, everybody wants to doubt me. What happened with me and producer Joe?
No. I just asked if you had started your training. There was no doubt.
Oh, not yet, Catman.
Not yet. All right.
They hate you because they ain't you.
You going to be hitting the heavy bag, champ?
I've done it, man. Like, I know about the kidney and liver shot. I shouldn't say... See,
the liver shot?
That's why I like Trump, because I'm not going to be like Hillary. You don't tell them your strategy.
Right. You're not going to telegraph. You know who doesn't like that? Waino.
Yeah.
Doesn't like giving scouting reports.
I'm making Sex Lewis great again.
Well, don't hit Ryan Kelly in the liver, please. I'm going through a refinance
right
Ryan
now. I'm going to hit Ryan in his nose. I just wish you... Hey, I promise this cat. Mm-hmm. You know, my main man, Danny McLaughlin, is going to be the announcer. We got eight. Where's Iggy at? Is Iggy in the studio?
Oh, he's right here. Gosh, Iggy. Yeah.
Let me talk to Iggy.
I'm here, buddy.
Hey, Iggy. You're the guy that calms me down. You know, Sex Lewis keeps sexy. You're in my corner. You know, you're biased last time against Joe, but this time we're going to raise so much money for St. Louis, for great charities, for any good charity. You know, anything. It's just all about making Sex Lewis great again, but it's going to be for a great cause.
What's the cause exactly?
Well, sounds good. Lots of different charities. But what about your story of meeting the late Jose Fernandez?
Yeah. You know, I meet the famous people and stuff. It's sure. Like, but... No, I go to the ball games. You know, my friends have seen tickets, and you know, I'm not 14 anymore. I don't get baseball sign, but like, I took my daughter a game and stuff, and like Fernandez is like ran up. He just had it was just, you know, Diaz and like whenever he passed sweat, like he was just so energetic. It just made the play baby cry. Like he came up beside the ball for my daughter. We still have the ball. Like it's framed up because that was one of my favorite players. He was a sexy player. Like. He came up, he was just a fan, like, it don't matter if you're a Cardinal fan, it didn't matter if you're a Giants fan, it don't matter. He was just a guy that was just vibrant. You know, he just had sexy coming out of him. He was just a,
sure.
just a beautiful, beautiful athlete.
I agree with you. Guy. I didn't know you have a daughter.
Guy. Well, I'm not talking about that, man. Like, I took my daughter to Cardinal games, but you know.
But I feel like you've never discussed that.
He's the type of guy that come over and play a baseball while there's 100 people, right? And sign for everybody. He was that type of guy.
All right. Well, thank we appreciate the call as always.
Yeah, but get Ryan Kelly on, man. Let's get this fight going. Let's get
all right. We will ask
training.
Excellent.
See you, Timber
Fake. Doug.
Yeah.
What do you know about Loverboy? Loverboy.
Loverboy, Doug.
Working for the weekend, Doug.
What do I know about it? Nothing.
He wore a headband and like a red leather jacket.
Thanks, Fake.
All right, see you, Timber Fake.
Hey, Doug, just give me Tony Lee back.
Now, how can I do that?
Well, you're a powerful guy.
Because you give me Tony Lee. Let Mike Lee get on the air right now.
I don't know if we have those capabilities. Yesterday we tried to do that and it didn't work. Either way, we have to go because I have to do a live read for Brian's paint.
Doug Vaughn's gonna give me Tony Lee back.
Okay.
All right.
See you, buddy.
Try.
That's a Timber Fake.
Hi, Timber Fake.
Brian's Paint, Doug, with 12 years of experience, can handle all of your painting needs, such as interior and exterior. That includes carports. You got custom painting, murals, and faux finishing. You were saying you'd like a nice mural in your...
I've done some faux finishing.
What do you call it? Your boudoir?
Boudoir. Boudoir. No, I have done some faux finishing where you wad up a towel and you kind of roll it on the wall and then you brush it in and everything. Oh, that takes some time.
It kind of has like an artsy look.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Brian's Paint can do that, plus deck refinishing and a power washing. Having an art degree, Brian is able to offer color assistance and bring you the highest quality work. Professional, clean, and affordable, Brian offers free estimates and is fully licensed and insured. So like his Facebook page, Brian's Paint, to see his portfolio or contact him at brianspaint.com. Tim McKernan and his lovely wife, Anna Marie, they've used Brian's Paint and they loved it.
Well, because, sure they do.
Because it's he does paint. All yeah. those things.
Yeah, it's great paint.
He's versatile. Use them.
I have a, what do you call that, like a front patio with some wood work. I'm blessed enough to have the real
porch.
Wood.
A porch.
Yeah, and it needs a little staining work. And,
well, you can do it yourself.
That.
You can do it.
No, I want professionals to do
well,
it.
Well, as long as
we're... They're gonna stain it and seal it for me once I get through baseball.
I do have to throw this out there. Any construction guy listening, I move out of my apartment in a couple weeks, have a few... touch-ups that need to be done before I get inspected. So.
You're going to lose your security deposit.
Well, not all of it, but like a portion. I have some drywall damage and things like
that. What'd you do to it?
Oh, just wear and tear. The puppy obviously did a little damage. I have my
dogs don't damage drywall.
Oh, they do.
How?
I mean, he uses his claws and he's teething, so you got that comboed in.
He claws the drywall with his paws?
I mean, not an extreme amount, but just...
Why don't you get a putty knife and some spackle?
Like I said, Doug, just throwing that out there. Any handyman, I'll pay you some money. You can come over, I'll cook you dinner or whatever.
I got a handyman.
Really?
Yeah.
You got
keep
big,
me in touch.
You got big, huge holes in the wall?
Not holes or anything like that. I have
just
one outlet was pulled out of the wall, so I need to get that touched up and put back in. I have a couple touch-ups on the drywall. Few chips here or there on the baseboards. I mean, it's simple things.
You could do it yourself.
A rental company would overcharge you for. So I'd rather pay somebody half that price to get it fixed so I get more of the security.
Get some spackle and some sandpaper and a little white paint.
I'll do some of it on my own. Some of it, obviously, I'll need help just because I don't want to mess it up. That's all.
I'm trying to listen to this other show that's being broadcast.
Me too. It is getting louder.
What is it?
It's all commercials. It's the credit score guy
again. Do you think it's like a Russian station? Bleeding over because they're trying to hack into us?
Probably, trying to hack into our voter database.
No, if you're Russia, you don't want to hack anything about this radio station because it's meaningless.
They might think we have voter databases here.
We are live.
Hey, it'd be like hacking a bunch of hacks.
Okay.
So, Doug, what else do you want to talk about?
I think the show's over now. You think people listening in their cars think can hear this other sound?
I think they can, yes. Because people on the text line are actually saying they can.
Are they? Yeah, if I can hear it, I'm sure they can hear it. Where is it coming from?
I don't hear anything in mine.
Hey, I don't either. Seymour, we want answers. All right? I'm not calling you out. I'm not saying it's your fault, but we want answers.
It's almost on a continuous loop. This guy's trying to get my credit score.
It's getting louder. I feel like this spot is significantly louder than the previous one that was on a couple minutes ago.
This is actually genius, though. It's this new concept of subliminal advertising.
Kind of puts you in a hypnosis.
Yes, we're just as you're hearing hot sports takes about the Cardinals, you're also hearing about the mortgage lenders and such, Doug.
Right.
And it kind of it gets ingrained into your brain. to use these products.
And we can charge advertisers for 3 hours worth of advertising because it's going to be playing while we're talking also.
It's really genius. It's like Zambo. Zambo, though, texts in and says, I'm in the car. I don't hear anything. But some people have said they're hearing it.
Well, that's weird. We got some people here can. Some people here cannot hear it.
Maybe it's if you're wearing headphones or earbuds that you get more of a pristine.
Iggy's got headphones. He's not signal. Hearing it. You've got headphones. You are hearing it. I got an earbud. I'm hearing it.
Somebody in the text line says, guys, keep it down. I'm trying to listen to Tiki Barber's show.
Maybe that's what we should just do. Let them hear the other show. Now it's gone. Now it's gone. Did you do something, Plowsy?
Tiki Barber, though, had a nice career running back of the Giants. Had some fumble problems, but then he kind of took care of that towards the end, Doug.
Where's he broadcasting these days?
NBC, I believe.
Didn't he get fired there?
Which we carry, so maybe that's what's bleeding over the feed from
you're going to blame Tiki Barber?
And I think what I turned off was I had Adobe Audition up because we were playing Cardinals clips out of the computer. And I think maybe when I turned it off, I don't know how
I don't
that would
hear
be
it
possible.
Now.
There's no other commercial playing currently. But we'll stick with that, and maybe in the future
watch
it will happen.
Watch your Adobe Audition button.
Adobe, not Larry Adobe.
Adobe Gillis.
Maynard G. Krebs, remember him? He was the beatnik on Dobie Gillis.
Yeah, I remember.
Played by Bob Denver, who would go on to get the job as Gilligan, of course.
So it all comes together.
Thank you, Doug, for that report.
That was something I knew, so I figured I'd jump in.
Mike Lee is on line one. You want to go to Mike and just kind of get it over with?
All right.
Mike, good morning.
Well, hello, Mike. Mike! Mike! Mike Lee! Hello, Mike!
Hey!
Yeah.
Hey.
Yes.
5 second delay.
I was on radio last night and talked to Hannah.
Okay, you're on the radio here now. Talk to us.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
I saw your son last night on Facebook.
You saw me?
No, I talked to your son on Facebook last night.
Oh, you
did? Talked to your son on Facebook.
What did he say?
He said, you want me to say anything for you about you?
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, sounds like an interesting conversation the two of you had.
Yeah, I asked Hannah, can I be your hot date?
Okay.
You said to Hannah, can I be your hot date? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, what'd she say to that?
She said, first of all, I asked Hannah, I said, who you like the most? Me, Timothy, or Larry? She said, me.
All right.
Nice. All right.
And,
right now, I want Hannah.
Even more than Penny and the others?
Well, ain't a kind of good-looking, and she's nice.
Yeah, all right.
Doug's good-looking.
Yeah, anything for Doug? Look. Anything for Doug?
Who you think I want, Penny or Hannah? I don't know.
Penny.
Let's focus on Doug, though.
Anything for Doug.
Now, why would you do this?
What do you mean?
What's wrong with the two of yous?
Hey, who do you think I want? I don't know.
It Penny. Sounds like you want Hannah.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell Penny that.
Yeah, okay.
Well, they're all very nice girls and very professional. And
if I tell Penny, she's going to tell me to stay away from them.
Mike, anything for Doug, though?
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
I'm going to Starbucks coffee.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, a lot of people like that.
Sassy.
Okay.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
You sound sexy.
Put him down! Put him down! Put him down!
Little giggle at the end from the great Mike Lee. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Well done.
At least you didn't goad him into that or anything. Mike Lee has been suspended, fellas. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time, and his name is going into the handsome leather-bound suspension logule, sponsored, of course, by the good people at Llewellyn's Pub. 6 locations. There's sure to be one near you.
I raise a glass to the latter last that will always support their team, whether on the field or is wearing the shield from the land that's emerald green. There's so much pride when you support a side that's winning or losing, it's true. And it helps Doug to know that success may flow like a glass of...
Kellamore Dew.
It's the official Irish whiskey of the morning after. A whiskey of true character. Glasses up to responsible drinking. Let's all do our shot right now, guys.
Okay.
That was good.
I'm trying to get a lot of the live reads in early, because a lot of people are complaining.
We've already had quite a few.
That we kind of shoehorn them in late, but I feel like sometimes our discussions are so good How can you break up right in the middle of the hot takes that we're spitting?
People really complain about the shoehorning effect?
A little bit. People complain about everything.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Well, they care. They care about this show. They care about us as people, and I thank them for that. Genuinely nice. I run into them every night at the ballpark. I was telling Doug, maybe 20 times. It's not an exaggeration. Probably closer to 25 people saying free Dotem. Two sets of kids came up to me and said free Dotem at the urging of their parents.
The other day, I was at the ballpark with Kat doing some live shots. I'm about ready to leave. And a couple, I would say what, maybe teenagers, early 20s, a couple guys wanted a picture with Kat. And Kat said only if Charlie's in it. But they had no idea who I was.
I love Charlie Marlowe. And if I'm going to take a picture and you're around, I want you in it, Charlie. That's
I appreciate that. It helps my Q rating.
It should, yeah. Yeah.
Is it Q score, Doug?
I think it's either.
What's yours?
I don't know. I have probably 6.
Yeah, one thing we haven't discussed that we did before we went on the air, and Charlie, you were in the back doing your research. So,
sure.
But Doug got a haircut, and Doug looks really good today. He looks spit-shined and polished up.
Yeah.
Look how good he looks.
Don't you feel better? I got a haircut 2 days ago. You know, sometimes you get a haircut, and you're like, it's not very good. I really like the haircut I got a couple days ago, and I have to admit, I was watching back the Two Fox. I like to watch the shows just to see what we're doing.
Like to watch yourself.
No, I do it to critique what we're doing, in all seriousness.
All right.
But I have to admit, I kind of saw myself. I'm like, that's a pretty good haircut.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, you did.
And yours also is very good.
I have such a horrendous head of hair that it's hard to get a good haircut, so I go to the same guy all the time. I go to old Jerry the Barber in Kirkwood.
You look good.
I don't look good.
I think you
I'm
do,
not taking
actually.
A shot. You look good. Let's face it.
Why do you think everything is a shot?
Because I know this is going somewhere.
No, it's a good haircut.
It can't just be, boy, you got a good haircut. It has to be going
Doug,
somewhere.
You're so jaded.
I don't want to nail down your specific age, but we're in the same age bracket. And for a guy your
don't
age...
Don't talk about Doug's age. Remember when I brought up his birthday?
Hold on. You're holding up very well.
That's where this is going.
No.
I knew it had to be going
somewhere. No. Are you
kidding
me? For a guy your age, you'd be a handsome guy. Hey, that guy's on TV, of course, because he's a handsome guy. But I'm saying specifically,
that's why I'm there.
Now in your age bracket, you're aging well. That's all.
I agree with that.
All right. And that's based on what?
Looking around the room here where we're all ugly.
Oh, okay.
You don't look a day over 57.
Oh, well. Are we going to do that again? Let's not.
I went lower or higher.
I don't care what his specific age is. I know kind of. He is aging very well. He looks good. That's all.
The fact that Doug, though, is in any way offended by that bothers me.
Well, I'm not offended. But
so I'm going to continue.
But we've done this a million times. The fact that it bothers you is the fact that I say that.
You can't help it. You're like
a
little
care.
Kid.
No.
You know
sometimes,
what you are? This
sometimes.
Is what you are. Everyone knows this. A little kid
keep interrupting.
is gonna put something into the electric socket. You say, get away from the electric socket. Mm-hmm. And the kid knows it's dangerous. You warn him. And there's something that compels him back or her to that electric socket. That's what you are right now. You know it's going to get you sideways. And you have that little grin on your face because you know you're acting the fool. And you're going to bother Doug with the age.
But here's why. Because... listening to this show for so long, where all that you guys do and we do when I'm on and Plowsy and Iggy and Sea Monster, all we do is have fun and bust each other's balls a little bit. It's all in good fun. It's never mean-spirited. And so, yes, a year ago or whatever it was, 8 months ago, when Doug seriously got offended by that, it bothered me to the point where, like, it still annoys me to this day.
I was not offended.
Yes, you were.
I was hardly
I said, let's have a birthday party, and you acted like I stabbed you.
I had a big birthday party.
You didn't invite us?
Yes, I did.
Yes, he did.
And
when?
No one showed up.
When?
When I had my birthday.
He did invite us. He didn't want to. His wife made him, right?
Are you serious?
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
You know.
I was not invited. Are you being serious?
Yes, you were.
No, I wasn't.
I passed out the invitations.
Are you making this up?
No.
No.
I still have it on my fridge.
I had to work. I had to work. You know, I
had
to work or I would have gone.
I had to work at Louis.
Okay, this is funny because true story, I did not get invited. I'm dead serious. Did you purposely not invite me?
No. Invited everybody.
So wait, you did have a party?
Yes.
I did not get an invitation.
Oh, well, you should have.
Do you even know my address? You never asked for my address.
Well, I passed him out at work.
You passed him out of work. Maybe you weren't there. It was an oversight. Doug, this wasn't Doug's operation. His wife wanted to throw him a party, if I recall. Doug doesn't love that. Went along with it because it was a nice gesture by his wife, so he invited all of us.
It was a party with two other of my high school friends who were turning the same age at the same time. It was a big thing at Kirkwood Park.
First of all, this is not for the show. This is true. I was not invited. That's a fact.
You're only here when you fill in. If you handed them
but
out
that's like half the time.
To the staff, you weren't here that day, maybe.
Plowsy, what do you think about this?
I find it funny because your reaction, you really are. You
I thought you were joking about the party.
No.
And everybody went but me, basically.
No, no one went. I didn't expect anyone to go. I didn't care
I
if anyone
came.
It wasn't for this group. It was for the other group with the two guys that I'm friends with. It was for our group of friends. My wife said, you have to invite everybody at work. I said, no, I don't. I don't. Said, yes, that would be the nice thing. I don't want to. She said, you have to do. I said, I'm not going to. She said, you have to. So I did. But it was not. It was not for this group. It was for the group of my friends, of the other group.
But you invite everybody here, but me.
Yeah. Well, if you were there, I would have.
I don't know about that.
Now, what if Charlie was having a birthday party? Would you go to his party?
Probably not.
I'll tell you
I'm
what.
I'm too old.
This bothers me.
I know. It's the electrical socket. That's what that is. You can't help but going back there.
Well, I'm glad I did now that
gonna,
I know that I wasn't
at some
invited.
Point, you're going to... And I get accused all the time of being, you're the guy that pushes in that direction all the time. I've steered clear because I've seen it where it gets uncomfortable. And there you are. And at some point, you're going to push him on his age again. Because you can't help yourself because you're the little kid sticking a wire into the
No,
socket.
I'm glad I pushed it this morning because I revealed the truth about Doug, that he really doesn't like me at all.
Do you understand that I think he explained it very, very well. His wife wanted him to invite us. He didn't want it to be about him. So he's like, it wasn't that he doesn't want us around. He didn't want it to be about him. But he did invite us. But you know what? He invited the people that were around. It's not like he was seeking out extra invitations because he didn't want it to be about him in the first place, right?
Because this group wouldn't necessarily mix with my other group of friends. Who knows what the people here would have done had they been in a party with my other friends.
What do you think, guys would be making out somewhere by the trees?
Probably so.
You don't think a 27-year-old twink-like body would fit in that crowd, Doug?
Maybe not.
I'll tell you what, for some perspective, let's go to Paul from the wealthy part. I guess, can we not say West County? Is it just from the wealthy part of the St. Louis area?
Just
Paul,
say,
what do you think about this, the fact that I was not invited to Doug's birthday party? Everybody else was.
I would be almost crying on the air. It would be so distressing to me. And that coworker actually excluded me from a party.
This is unbelievable.
Well, I don't know why you weren't. I think you just weren't there for a while.
Right now.
Because I had to reluctantly pass him out like 2 days before the party.
Cut his mic.
Because I told my wife, I don't want to invite them. You have to. You work with them. I don't want to. You have to.
Right now, my fiance and I, we're going to have to make some tough decisions on the wedding invitations. And let me tell you, you're going to be one of the first to go.
Well, that'll save me the cost of a present.
Paul, go ahead.
Charlie, I have to believe that the true motivation, while Doug has a fabulous excuse that you were not there, I think the true motivation, he was terribly disturbed by your vicious attack on him about his age and didn't want to invite you. I think that's the reality of the situation. Doesn't that seem apparent?
It does, and it bothers me even more.
You know.
Well, you know,
because I thought we were friends.
I feel sorry for you. I mean, you are the redheaded stepchild. You're the fill-in, and they don't treat you with any respect. So, yeah. I mean, that I'll apologize for Doug.
I disagree with that. Someone asked me for a picture. I say, no, sir, not unless my friend Charlie Marlowe's in the picture with me. That's respect.
You said, yeah, the fill-in.
Yeah. But I was calling almost on the same issue.
Right.
I was there, as you guys know, at the event the other night, and I was actually quite surprised by the crowd. I honestly thought that I'd be attacked or beaten up or to some extent, and I was surprised by the kindness that was shown by many of the people I ended up talking to at the event. But I have to ask, Doug.
Yeah.
Are you at least taken back even more by the fact that you're sexually harassed by those people? I mean, not just the fact that you're sexually harassed on a daily basis, but by the people that are sexually harassing you. Doesn't it is it, doesn't it make it even more creepy?
Yes, it does. You're absolutely right. It does make it more creepy.
I have to tell anyone that has not made it to any of these events, you have to go, because the people that show up, while at least most of them that I met were incredibly nice, once you see them and you realize they're calling in on a daily basis to sexually harass Doug, it almost makes you want to leave.
Yeah, me too.
Paul, what about the guys who are at the event still texting into the text inbox wanting to get in Doug's hindquarters?
Okay, Plowsy.
Well, that's even more amazing if they won't, I guess they won't do it in person. Is that what you're saying?
No, we had a guy, like the one I was at, we had a guy with a yearning hand going under a table to get close.
And a chicken wing drumstick in his mouth.
Yeah. And they wonder why I don't like to go to the events.
Well, I think Charlie might, does he have a groping hand at the event?
I do not.
No.
I'm a professional.
Okay. Well, you did look quite professional that night, Charlie. I was quite impressed.
Well, thank you. I had to work later that night, and it was also...
What are you, on TV?
I was on TV, 11 o'clock news, called The Show of Record. But I was very excited to meet Paul, because for years we've heard Paul's voice, and it was nice to put a face to a name. He had his suit on. He was throwing money around, just dropping 20s on the Foot Fetish Friday.
Wow.
And kind of showing everybody his ridiculous wealth.
Mm-hmm.
I was tad disturbed that the girl left for a softball game and did not participate. But, you know, each person can make their own decisions. That's fine.
There you go. America. Paul. Thanks for the call, Paul. We got to get to the break, but we appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
And our Bye-bye. Listeners are, Bye, Paul. Except for some harassment here and there of Doug, our listeners are nice people. They seem crazy with the text or whatever. You meet them and you find out they're nice people.
But here's one of the best. His name is Deke Dotem, and he says on the text line, I just want to say that I love everyone in that room except Douglas Elvey. And that is your text of the day.
You're not supposed to read the text, Charlie. He's been suspended. He's been suspended indefinitely.
Yeah, I met his parents.
He cannot win.
I met his parents of the day.
Text of the day.
It's not possible.
Free roast beef sandwich at Lion's
Choice. No, it's not possible for him to win anything.
Have you met
He's
Deke?
Been suspended.
When you don't invite a coworker to a birthday party, you lose all privileges.
Have you met Deke Dotem's parents? Wonderful people. I think it would make you rethink. They're wonderful
people. I don't care what the parents are.
All right, got to take a break.
He's vile.
Got to take a break. We have Jesse the Body Ventura at 8:30. Chris Raby of, is it KMOX at 9 o'clock. All on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC studio on the all-new 590 The Fan. Also 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.